Jack Smith, to me, is the most important artist. I've said this in lectures, the most important artist of our century. His influence is so far-reaching. He's visionary. He just did his art, and listening, as they say, to your own drummer. And he worshipped at Maria Montez, the great queen of Technicolor actress, the same as Ronald Tavel, the playwright, John Vaccaro, director of the Playhouse of the Ridiculous, and a few others. But simultaneously, individually, of how we interacted or collectively got to know each other, is I met Jack Smith as he was coming out of a dumpster I was climbing in, and we were all vying for fabric on, there were fabric stores along Broadway, but on Crosby Street, all the way down toward Canal, were the rears of many of these stores, and they would discard haphazardly rolls of fabric. And often there was a yard or so, but they didn't care because of what was coming in. And many artists downtown, or costumers, or people who are interested to make curtains, would invade these dumpsters all the way down, but the nearest one and favorite was there just south of Bleecker on Crosby. And I saw him sort of regularly in various places. And then I one of his places he liked to go is the Salvation Army, that's on 4th Avenue, kitty corner from the Art Deco post office, Cooper Square. And I would see him. But in the nature of our downtown world, we're not officially introduced and you say your name, you say hi after you see familiar faces, or at a poetry reading at St. Mark's in the Bowery. You're just part of a community. And that we started talking in our own bizarre way. And then I connected the person who I had been seeing. And people would say, that's Jack Smith, in hollowed, respectful tones. And of course, connecting it is, I had seen downtown Flaming Creatures and knew people who were in it, obviously Mara Montez, and later Judith Malina of the Living Theater was one of the actresses and so forth. And I remembered that some downtown people, we're all fringe people, saying they're shooting a scene in what's the park in Brooklyn? Prospect Park. You know, you don't get a permit, but there's a section that's overgrown, and he wanted to shoot there, and he did. And it was so vague about where to meet and where to go, and I'm sure he'd like you, and that you could be in a crowd scene or something. But reluctant as I was, is I didn't officially meet him till a little later, but I knew the circle of people who were working with him, and we started chatting, and then he did photograph me and Mario, and when the East Village was a bomb-out shelter like East Berlin, is that we would get in costume, and he would take photographs, and the juxtaposition of the East Village when the drugs had decimated and the buildings had fallen down or bombed out, is there were abandoned burned cars, and in drag costumes, I would drape myself over these burned cars, and he would take photographs. But it's a juxtaposition and a statement about like slum goddesses still exist in these ruins. And we did that in Chinatown too, when in some city official approved it. In Chinatown, they had little pagodas on top of the payphones. And I mean, it was very quaint, and he thought that would, I'd get in a Shenzong and what have you. And he did pictures, but through that, and then later, we shot, he shot various scenes with different themes and motifs. Now, these are silent films. They're visual. And because it took years for him to do films, is that sequences were sort of a scotch tape together when he showed it. And sometimes he would re-edit a film and just cut and tape something else. And it was living art. And so consequently, his showings weren't always the same film. It was the theme of the film, but he might edit in a different way. And in some performance pieces, which were way before their time, he would, in his costume, he would scotch tape pieces of the film he edited on his costume and walk through the crowds. And obviously pieces fell off and what have you. But he didn't feel his art was precious. It was living art. And I tell younger people, Andy Warhol was in some of his films, just like John Vaccaro. And Andy Warhol's obviously been quoted as, Jack Smith is the MGM, and I'm just Warner Brothers. And it amazed me, who is Robert Wilson also had come to some of Jack's performances. And Jack did actual, I'll jump back to Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol did filming like the Empire State Building or Man Sleeping. Well, Jack Smith inspired and did all that, but he didn't have money for 24 hours of film. He did things of that nature, and he did weekend performances at his loft in early Soho, where people came and went. And the concept was such is, you came into his living loft while there was cooking or sleeping, taking a bath or what have you. And what you saw is what you got from that experience. And there were people who would come, they assumed there'd be an 8 o'clock and wait and then go, well, nothing's happening. He's looking at his black and white TV, and he's not acknowledging people who are sitting around. And then maybe midnight or 1 o'clock, he'd feel that the sightseers and people would have left, and he started moving objects around, doing an installation or interacting or reading from Raggedy Ann and Andy or playing scratchy long play vinyl records. But all the things he did is were like miracle pieces, is that you may not quite understand exactly what he was doing, but he inspired you visually to think about what he was doing or moving about fabric, just draping fabric over, or take an hour moving some objects on a table, is that there was a mind and an art and a precision of what he did. And in the experience of shooting a sequence, this one time we were down on Mercer Street, and he really didn't have a lease, but he had access, and that the building didn't have, only had electricity in the hallway, because by law, he had the key to the outdoors, and he had an outlet. He took the socket, and we used that to do film things. But with Jack, time does not exist. And for Mario and me, he spent hours and hours draping and arranging drapes and feathers and advising us more lip or eyeshadow and sprinkling glitter and so forth. And over this lapse of time, in an abandoned loft thing that he had filled up like a hoarder, but beautiful objects he's found in the street, is that do the chill is one of us would have to use the makeshift toilet. And he'd it was anguished him. You're going to move. You look perfect. And I have to pee. And so that means I would have to move, or Mario, and we'd have to go off somewhere and pee in a can, and that we'd come back. Well, all of this is fine in with makeshift lights and doing this, but then we'd have to move in front of an installation of some sort. And he tried to, without blowing the lights, is find some lights to shine on us. And even then, would he even get 5 minutes of film from all those hours? But it's art. And subsequently, we had shot many sequences through the decades. And people had said, well, do you have any proof? Are there any photographs? And there were people who had seen, because he had carousels of slideshows, who had seen it, but it never ended up. Penny Arcade saved as much as she could from the First Avenue apartment, and but there somehow weren't any of me. And that Jerry Tatagula, who was hired by the Barbara Gladstone Gallery to help the soundtrack or what have you, and did at some panel talk, I had mentioned that all the sequences he shot with me were lost, and he was at a panel and he said that it hasn't been rediscovered yet. And 20 years of work, which he did do the Gladys Grant, looking through snippets and pieces of film that with scotch tape, he found definitely less than 3 minutes, maybe it was like 2 minutes, of me and Mario and Montez on a film, and titles changed all the time. It is that those, let's say, 2 minutes of glory, silently, was in color, was me with Mario Montez as a handmaiden. But all subsequently, all the other films, sequences, because of economics, he'd leave it at a drugstore that developed film, and then lose that little receipt. And so much is lost in the art. And it was economics. The poor man never had enough money together. So it did take years to complete something, and he would re-edit. And God bless Jerry Tatagula, and that he did find a sequence with me and Mario, and I forgot the other one's name, man's name, but there's enough film of Jack Smith to know of such, he was such a visionary artist, is that you had to look beyond what you were seeing, black and white or color, the creative eye and spirit. But truly, he is the greatest artist. When I gave my pound, because he influenced theater, music, poetry, and what have you, just by being consistent and true to himself. Now, there's a whole other chapter, which I won't go into because it's more in public domain, with the film with Mary Jordan, The Lost Continent of Atlantis, with Jack Smith or something. But she devoted, no matter what you think of Mary Jordan, And in the downtown community, it's plus and minuses. She did complete a film, like it or not, and put his name out there for younger people to peruse.